which was unnecessary and stupid, but that's another thing. So anyway, Kuwait is located just north of the Persian Gulf, and then just north and a little bit west of that is Iraq, and just east of all of that is Iran. And Iraq and Iran were fighting things out, you know, really duking it out. And they were keeping one another at bay. One was a Shia Muslim nation. The other was a Sunni Muslim nation. Iraq was Sunni. Iran was Shia. And that's a faction that fought one another and helped. We didn't have to get in there and mess it up. When we messed it up, it allowed Iran to have a whole lot more power and put a lot more terrorism in. So that the Bushes totally messed us up. Of course, the Bushes, unfortunately, were taking their orders from the New World Order elites, and they were not in the interest of the United States, I'm sorry to say. But at any rate, you know, the Uniparty. but at any rate, Babylon is located in what would be modern-day Iraq, at the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And then, you know, the Persian Gulf is just south of that. So, does anybody remember when prophetic interest in Babylon was stirred up? And what event stirred it up, or what happening stirred it up? Christian writers were writing about it. They were talking about it. I'm talking about the city of Babylon now, that great city that one day will be the center of everything. Yes, Kathy. The World Trade Center coming down. That was 9/11, right? 2001. All right. September 11, 2001. Actually, it's before that. Although that, you know, that would be something to think about, because, you know, Wall Street has been considered the center of economic power and all of that, and one day Babylon will be. But no, it's actually before that. Yes.
I was going to say, before the big 2001.
Well, you're getting in the World Trade Center again, the explosion of the World Trade Center before 9/11. Yeah. No, it's before the World Trade Center. Mike?
I believe it could have happened when Saddam Hussein went to rebuild.
You got it.
You got it.
That was in the 1980s. Correct, Mike. Yes, it was when Saddam Hussein was the head of Iraq before he was removed, and he wanted to rebuild the city of Babylon, and he was rebuilding it more like a tourist center, though. And a lot of people thought, oh, this is it, you know, the city of Babylon. I didn't think it was in the 1980s. I thought, no, because when Babylon is rebuilt, it's not going to be rebuilt by the Iraqi nation and one leader of the Iraqi nation. It's going to be built by the whole world. It's going to be built as the World Trade Center. It's going to be built as the center of all the commerce in the world, and all the wealth of the world will be centered in Babylon. It will be the commercial center of the world, and it will be opulent and rich, and it will make corporations mega rich. People will travel back and forth to Babylon, you know, doing business, and oh, it will just be such a wealthy, wealthy place, and a very sinful place. There'll be sex slaves sold in Babylon, and there'll be terrible, wicked things done there, like we see being done right now. But all the trade of the world will be there. The luxury, it will be full of luxury. And it's going to be a city that will be rebuilt to be the center of everything. And, of course, it's where the Garden of Eden was. All that oil wealth that's under the ground was the vegetation from the Garden of Eden during the flood going down underground and turning into oil, fossil fuel. So it's the place of the Garden of Eden. So Satan caused man to sin there, and he took over as the ruler of this world, you know. So it's a great city to him. And then it's also the center after the flood when God judged man. It's the center of the one world government, the one world trade and commercial center under a man. Does anybody know the man in Genesis 11 who was the head of that? Nimrod, yes. He was from Ham, descendant of Ham. He was a great ruler, a world leader, a hunter, a great hunter. He may have been a big game hunter, but he also hunted people and got them into his one world religion and government and commercial center. And God didn't like it. He didn't want the world united. He didn't like a United Nations. He's against the United Nations, by the way. And God stopped it by doing something that we get the name Babel from. What did God do to stop it? Yep.
He caused all the people in the world to change the language.
Yep, speak different languages suddenly, and that's how languages started. Yep. Exactly. So they couldn't work together. Yep, they got confused. They could not work together, and they had to scatter all over the world. God is for nations, borders, language differences. He's for that. He's a nationalist, not a globalist. That's why we preach against globalism. Until Jesus comes back, then he'll be the world ruler, but it'll still be the nations of the world. So Babylon is very important historically, and it's important in prophecy because it's going to be the capital of the final beast empire. We know there are a number of beast empires. What is the final global beast empire? What number is that? The Sarge. Good man. Very good. He'll be the ruler of the eighth beast empire. And we believe he'll be one of the seven. We believe Nazi Germany was the seventh. And very likely Adolf Hitler will be cloned, brought back his soul out of hell. He'll be that become and be unmasked as the eighth ruler right in the middle of the 7 years. And his capital will be in Babylon, in Iraq. Now, does anybody know what a lot of people say about Babylon? Maybe Bible teachers, even fundamentalists, I've heard them say, what is Babylon? Anybody heard any teaching on that? Diane?
Mystery Babylon?
Yeah, Mystery Babylon. So they call it like it's a mystery. It's not a literal city. It's not a literal place. It's a mystery. It's a system of false religion. A lot of people say it's the Roman Catholic Church. You know, the whore, they call it, the whore, because the church married the state. Now, it is true the church did marry the state and so forth, but that does not make the Roman Catholic Church Babylon. It's mystery, comma, Babylon the Great. So the mystery is just simply means it's a secret of God that he has revealed through John for us to understand. Mystery, Babylon, the city. And the city is the center of idolatry back in Nimrod's day when God scattered the flood. After the flood, he scattered it through the language differences. They brought that idolatrous, pantheistic, evolutionary religion. And that's what their religion was. That's always Satan's religion, evolution. Satan himself teaches evolution. He believes he and God evolved out of primordial soup, you know. And he's vying with God, and he tells his fallen angels that he tells. So that was the kind of religion, evolutionary pantheism, and it came out of that and spread to all the religions of the world, and they're going to all come back together in one final religion. And what is that religion going to be? What's going to be the main tenet, I should put it, sorry, of that final religion? What will be the main thing when it's in Babylon? The one world religion, the one world church. Mike?
That's what I was going to say, the one world religion.
Yeah, but what will be the tenet of that one world religion, or the main, I guess, the main teaching of it, the main thing that you need to adhere to be part of it? Yeah. Definitely evolution. Definitely. Yes. Yes. Worship of a man. 666. Man was made on the sixth day. Man is God. Not just the beast. He's just the most highly evolved. He's the most highly evolved man. So he's the most highly evolved God. But we're all gods. And we can be like God. And we're all part of God. You know, pantheism. God is everything. Everything is God. You ever hear of that? You know, we're part of the big, you know, consciousness. And that's why we can think things into existence if we all think together. And this is their pantheism. This is what the globalists believe. And they're also, you know, Luciferian and so forth. But Satan's up behind all this. So that's going to be that big one religion. It's going to be a big world government. And it's going to be the center of everything. And everybody will have one monetary system. And it will be cashless. No cash. When I went to the Friday night, I went with my son and his wife and four kids. I was there with them at the Rail Riders game. And I went to get some ice cream, and I had my debit card. I mean, I had my cash, and I want to buy some ice cream, you know, for my kids and grandkids there. And they go, no, we don't take cash. It's only cashless. I said, that's right. I was in Yankee Stadium. You guys are owned by the Yankees, and it was all cashless. I said, I understand. I'm ready for that. And I brought out my debit card. And I said, you know, but I don't like it because it means control. And the lady said, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm scared of that too. I said, it's controlled by the government, and they'll control us. And I said, I've read the book of Revelation, and the last book of the Bible talks about a cashless monetary system totally controlled by this city of Babylon, you know, and everything will be done there. They'll worship the beast. So that's just introduction. So let's go up now to chapter 18, verse 9, and you have your notes there. So let's go through the notes with you, and let's look at these things, starting with number 1, in your notes, and then you can fill in the blank as we go along. All right, number 1 says, we know that the wicked leaders of the World Economic Forum and other globalist organizations are bent on controlling governments of the world. Now remember, the Bible says, who rides the beast? Who rides the beast, or rides to power on the beast? Who is it? Who is on top of the beast, according to Revelation 13. Anybody know? Sarge?
Satan himself.
Well, not really Satan himself. Hold your finger there and go back to Revelation 13 and look at with me at that and see if we have that there. I'm sorry. I said Revelation chapter 13, that talks about the beast, but look at verse 1 of chapter 17. Let's go there. Chapter 1 of verse 17, it says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great what? Anybody have it?
War.
The great what?
War.
All right, let's say it together. The great what?
Whore.
The great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, that is this city of Babylon where all the wealth is and all the benefit is. for those that are part of it. Now, notice what it says in number one here in your notes. It says one of the things that they use in the control of money in commercial enterprises, it says, in turn, these governments that cooperate with the WEF, World Economic Forum, other globalist philosophies, put mandates on the people and businesses in their lands to control them as well. And so notice what it says in verse 9 of chapter 18. It says, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, with who? With who? The whore. And what's the whore? The city of Babylon, where this commercial center is located. So it says, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her, lament her, when they see the smoke of her burning. In other words, this is talking about the judgment of this city at the end of the bowl judgments that we talked about. God is going to see to it that this city is judged with its one world commercial center. And how did they get rich? They committed fornication with her. Well, how did they commit fornication with her? The World Economic Forum says, we're going to give you points as a corporation. And if your corporation goes along with, for instance, global warming or climate change, and you reduce your carbon, then you will get more points from us and you will be able to do more business. If you don't go along with climate change, we're going to penalize your corporation and you're not going to get as much business. And they get everybody to agree to that. They have no power, but the World Economic Forum, everybody goes along with it. Because they want to be cool. Except the red Chinese don't have to fly by those rules. The Indian people don't have to go by those rules. They get the Western governments to comply with them. And it's all just about control. It's not about science. It's fake science. There's nothing true in what they're saying scientifically about climate change. It's a big hoax. It's a big myth. It's a big bunch of baloney. But they got the whole world getting into it, and they get rich that way if they go along with it. If they don't go along with it, they go out of business. And what are these globalists for? They're for these great big corporations who will go along with it. And then they get government leaders to put it into law or put mandates so that your corporation has to have less fossil fuel. And then what are they doing now? They're trying to get rid of what? Gas-guzzling cars. They want everything to be electric. And they have these big trucks that can go 300 miles, like Donald Trump said, on a battery that's charged before they have to find a charger and charge it forever. And they can get trucks to go almost coast to coast with one fill up of all the diesel they can put in these trucks, diesel fuel, coast to coast without having to refuel. It is totally ridiculous and stupid. And they want to make tanks now, our military weapons, electronic with these batteries as well, and be under this same stupid system. And they're all bowing to it because, well, if you go along with it, then you will be blessed by the government. If you don't, they'll penalize you with taxation, removal of privilege. This is fascism. This is where a government controls the corporations, and they're controlled by these people in the World Economic Forum that propose these stupid ideas. It's all about globalism. It's all about control. And they're getting us to get rid of the things that made us wealthy, that made us a blessed nation. They're just getting people to get rid of all that. And it's all satanic. And it's going to be centered one day in this city of Babylon, which is going to be under this kind of control and these kind of mandates. And it's going to be fascist, where it's going to be the corporations are controlled by the government. But yet the corporations will have their independence, But, you know, when COVID happened, you notice all these mom and pop businesses closed. You know how they said only essential businesses can stay open, which were, you know, big stores like Walmart, Target. But the mom and pops couldn't stay open. You know, they didn't comply. Churches couldn't stay open because they didn't comply. And so a lot of these people bowed down and went along with this. I'm so glad we did not. Not once, but I'm saying they go along with it, and this is how they're gaining this power and control, and the people at the top get very wealthy from this, but the people at the bottom get impoverished by this, and that's what's going on, that people won't even be able to own automobiles, and they want to take away everything from you. What Klaus Schwab say, the head of the World Economic Forum? You will own nothing and be happy about it. And Hollywood actors and actresses are pushing eating bugs now and stuff like that for the people. But yet they're getting richer and richer. So this is where this is leading the world, and notice what it says. So they commit fornication. Now, fornication can be any sex outside of marriage, but it also can be spiritual fornication. So how do they commit fornication with the city of Babylon? Well, fornication is to bow down, like a woman would bow down to a man and commit fornication with him. They will bow down to and before a false god. And that god will be centered in Babylon. And that god will be what? You have to worship the image of the beast in order to participate and get your mark and get scanned and be able to participate in business and make mega bucks and have all the great things available. And so what does that lead to? If you bow down to that, commit fornication with that system and go along with it, you're going to become very what? Rich is the idea if you're a business. If you don't, you're going to become very what?
Poor.
So let's go on. Let's go on to number two. How, according to verse 9, will their wholehearted cooperation affect them in this end time? And let's read verse 9. It says, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. With who?
The whore.
And who is the whore?
Babylon,
where this whole monetary system is set up based on idolatry, based on kowtowing to the World Economic Forum type elitist, and live deliciously with her, committed for it. So you can live deliciously with her, shall bewail and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. See, when God judges this whole system, people that have put all of eggs in the basket of this one world government, this one world economy, they have been living deliciously. They have been enjoying their life. When? Especially during the Great Tribulation, when the saints were persecuted, who didn't participate. They were really living deliciously with her. And this is even going to linger on till the very end. They're still going to hold out hopes that they're going to win in the war against God when God starts judging the world. They're still going to hold out hopes. We can hold on to our wonderful lifestyle in Babylon. Because see, what God does is, remember, after the seventh bowl judgment, there's a great earthquake, the greatest earthquake in the history of the world. Remember that? And it's going to shake every island. It's going to shake every building down. It's going to shake everything down. Fires worldwide. It'll be the most horrible and devastating judgment that you can imagine. The worst earthquake ever. And it's going to cause total destruction. Except it will not destroy the city of Babylon. And it will not destroy the armies of the beast that are rushing to Israel to fight Jesus in the Battle of Armageddon. Why is God doing that? He is saying, you think you can beat me? All right, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to let you do your best. Ball up your fist and give me your best shot. Okay, come on. Come on. That's what he's doing. And really, he's been doing it with Satan for 6,000 years now, because he could have knocked him out with one punch, and he hasn't done it. And so there's a lot of hubris. Remember 2016 when Trump got defeated, how people cried in the CNN and how the women cried and how the men cried. You know, they were so sad, you know, about Trump getting in there because he's going to upset our globalist dreams for the United States. You know, remember that? And then, boy, they came back, and Soros came back, and he said, oh, it's going to be temporary. I remember he made that speech. We're going to deal with this thing. It's just temporary phenomena. In 2020, Soros boasted it'll be over in America. And they stole the election, and you know what they did ever since 2016. In the first 4 years, they just kept impeaching and attacking, right? And they're still doing it, amen, so that it never happens again, that hope comes in of anti-globalism. And so that's where all this pride, and the sadness is when God judges it, they're going to cry and lament and weep over this whole thing. And because, notice what it says, they have lived deliciously with her. Now, just hold your finger here and go to James 5, because I'm going to give you a prophecy about this in James 5. What period of time will this reach the greatest time of living deliciously and living in luxury? What period of time will it be in terms of prophecy that will be at its highest and best point for them? Joe?
I'm going to say the day of the Lord.
No, not the day of the Lord. It'll go on during the day of the Lord, but no. Patty? The Great Tribulation. That will be their highest and greatest time. Now, let's look at James 5, and this is a prophecy of the time of the Great Tribulation. A lot of people don't understand this. They don't understand it's a prophecy. That's why it's the last chapter in James. I believe the Apostle James wrote this, not the half-brother of the Lord, and he's given a prophecy. Now, notice what it says in verse 1. He says, go to now, ye rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Now, are all rich people to be condemned? No. There are people that are rich that God made them rich. They don't trust in their riches. They trust in the Lord, and they use their money to serve God. Not all rich people are condemned, but these rich people are. This specific group of rich people, it's the people that are working with Babylon in the Great Tribulation, and as long as they can keep it going after that, in the day of the Lord, they're working with Babylon to maintain living a delicious, wonderful lifestyle while believers in the Lord are being arrested, they're being impoverished, they can't have any money. I mean, it's all taken from them. And he says, your riches are corrupted, verse 2, and your garments are moth-eaten. They own clothes, they don't have money, they have all kinds of riches. And notice what he says in verse 3, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them is witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for when? Are you with me? When?
The last days.
The last days. James 5, verse 3. So he's talking about you have kept getting all this wealth, and you've amassed it, but you're in the last days. Hey, what does this remind you of? How about the Biden crime family? How about the Obama crime family? Look at the riches of these people. Where'd they get all that money? Through business and through working for it, like Donald Trump? No, they're a bunch of leeches. They've leached off the American people, off the tax dole. They've done it through government, like socialists do. They get in the government gives them all the money. All the wealth goes to Washington. It's a bunch of, leeching, really. And he says, you've done that. And not only that, he says, your money is gold and silver. What's our money that we have? Well, right now, what's left of it is this. And what's this? If you read it, it used to say silver certificate. I have these. Anybody have silver certificate? Yeah, you turn it in the bank, you won't get silver for it.
No.
You used to be able to. They're not being used anymore. They've stolen that too, just like the election. Cynthia?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Talking about gold and silver. We have gold and silver.
Yes.
Will they be worth anything?
Well, they're always worth something. I would say during the Great Tribulation on the black market, yes. On the black market. But they no doubt will not be legal, allowed by the globalists. But they'll have it. The globalists will have it. And they have it now. These people have the gold and silver. They give us this. What is this? It's a Federal Reserve note. Who started this? The Rothschild family. Started saying to people, when you get your money, you know, your gold and your silver, you give it to us and we'll give you paper money so it's easier to spend. You just give us your gold and silver. We'll hold it for you. We'll give you paper money and we'll hold it for you. If you turn it in, we'll give it to you from the paper. Of course, more and more it became a scheme to get to the point where they eventually had the power and the wealth that they could go to any government and the government would comply with them and they would say, we will give you the power to issue money, but you will owe us interest on the money that you issue people. That's why it says Federal Reserve note. It means as soon as a country uses the money of these bankers, started by the Rothschilds, and went through a whole process, but started by the Rothschilds, as soon as you issue money, you owe these people interest on that money because they're giving you the right to print money. In other words, governments have given up their own right to print their own money. In our Constitution, it says we should have the right to print our own money, and it should be backed by silver coins, or we should have silver coins. That's our money. But now we let the globalist international bankers give us the right to print money, and we all comply with that. You know, we go along with it by consensus, and then we owe them interest every time we print money. And that's the system we're under. So they don't operate with that, but they put us under that system. And so it, again, impoverishes people. And it gives them the right to take away your money. They can take it away. How do they take it away? By crashes in the stock market. And then, everybody has to sell out to them. Yeah, Sarge?
What was money printing in this back then?
Yeah.
If my memory is correct, didn't that really get popular under Woodrow Wilson, pre-World War I?
Yeah, Wilson started it. He started it, Woodrow Wilson. That's correct.
New Jersey, what do you want?
And just before he died, he said, I believe I've sold out the American people. I believe I have sold them out. Thomas Jefferson said, if you give the right to coin your own money to international bankers, you will become a slave in your own country. And that's what we have done since Woodrow Wilson and since the Federal Reserve, which is not federal, it's international bankers run it, since we gave our ability to print money to them, and then later on Nixon took us off the gold standard, and it just got worse and worse. So now that's the way the money system is. And how do they take away money? They inflate the value of money. So they'll give all money to illegal aliens, you know, thousands of dollars a month if you're in New York State. And it, just become an illegal, come across, they'll give you all kind of money. And people are really upset that work for their money and, you know, pay taxes and all this, they're getting really ripped off. Yeah, Mike?
I think we used to have, from what I heard, Fort Knox, where we had gold and back.
Correct.
And money.
In Kentucky, yes.
And then one of the presidents took us off of that. It's no longer gold.
Richard Nixon. Yeah, took us off that gold standard, right, and sold us down the river. And, yeah, and now our money is not backed by gold. Probably you'll find spider webs in Fort Knox, but I don't know. I don't know, you know, what's there. But I know we're not on the gold standard. Yep.
One last thing, the gold standard,
yep.
our monies, our bills were backed by gold and silver,
mm-hmm.
but now they're not, so the paper's
yep.
worthless.
Yes, it is. It is, and that's why they inflate it. You know, you take a dollar, and what's it worth now compared to what it was? It's just worth less and less. And when inflation gets really bad, they use dollars in Germany before World War One, they used dollars for toilet paper or whatever. You know, it was worthless. Yeah. Yeah. What do they do with that gold? Who knows? Nobody's audited it for a long time. Nobody's audited it. Not even Reagan. Reagan was going to talk about auditing. Nobody's audited it. Nobody's done anything with it. I really don't know because it's not been audited. How can I say? I mean, I know this. We've got oil. We've got more oil than anybody in the world. You saw that with Trump. When Trump was here, he said, we're using the oil for us. The gas prices were $1.80-something when he left office. And we can't use our oil now. Why? Because the globalists are raping us and giving it away. Biden is, under Obama, is using our... How many have heard of this? The oil reserves we have that are supposed to be saved for emergencies. He's putting them out there to keep the prices down so that too many people won't go against him in an election. You know, just trying to make it look a little better. Yeah, it's a stealing from. And so going back to James 5 now, I'm just giving you a little bit of background here. Going back to James 5, notice what it says in verse 4. James 5:4 says, behold, the hire of the laborers, that's the workers, people that are working for a living, who've reaped down your fields, whose fields? The globalists that are centered in Babylon in the end times, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. In other words, the Lord is hearing these cries and groans from people that are being ripped off by what we're talking about here. He's sick of it, and he's going to judge it.
Amen.
When's he going to judge it? During the day of the Lord, and certainly during this final bowl judgment, when he judges this final whole system and stops it entirely. And he just stops it entirely. And so God is going to judge this. Now, my prayer is that there would be a mini day of the Lord, and that God would judge these people over the United States and push them back. And that God would bring Trump back in and do a mini day of the Lord before the final day of the Lord. You say, why? So we can be rich and have a lot of money? No. So we can have enough to get the gospel out and do the work that God wants us to do. and that God would give us peace. And so that's what we're praying for and asking God for. But eventually, yes, this is going to happen. And look at verse 5 of James 5. I'll stop there on this. Well, I'll go to verse 6 too. He says, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Do you know what that means? Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been